Number five and number six are similar. They can get confusing. They each protect a number of civil liberties within them. I am going to go through both five and six. Make sure that you are able to differentiate between those civil liberties protected in five and in six. They both incorporate Miranda warnings. They both deal with the criminal trial process and the rights that you have in the courtroom, in being prosecuted, defending yourself, and who it is that actually does do the prosecuting of you, and who, more importantly, are the people that listen to and decide your guilt or innocence. First of all, number five states that no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. A grand jury is just, simply put, a pre-jury. That's all. It's just you go before the grand jury in order to find out if the prosecution takes you before a grand jury in order to find out if there is enough evidence to even bring you before a real jury. Now, the protection here is that in this kind of a situation, your whole reputation could be destroyed in front of a jury trial in the public, and there may not even be the evidence that is enough to bring you to that position in time. And so consequently, the grand jury protects your innocence until such time that it proves that they say, at least by just a majority vote, not a unanimous vote, that there is enough evidence to just bring you to trial. The rules are easier, the lighter, the burden of proof is much lower in a grand jury, because you're not going to, because of the grand jury verdict, you can't incarcerate anybody. You do not find them guilty. All you do is find enough evidence to go to trial. The second thing popping up here is double jeopardy. Now, double jeopardy, besides being a bad movie, states that no person can be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. That means once you're found not guilty, and again, that's different from innocent. If you're found not guilty, it just means that 12 members of a jury trial did not find you guilty. If you're found not guilty, then you cannot be tried again for that crime. Even if you later confess in public to that crime, a good example of that is the Emmett Till case. Emmett Till was murdered back in 1955, I think it was 1955, down in Money, Mississippi, by two white men, and tortured, murdered, thrown into the Tallahatchie River. And like in many cases in the civil rights movement, an all-white jury, male jury in the South found these guys innocent, found them not guilty. And then they came back out in print shortly thereafter in Look magazine and did a long piece that was nationwide that said exactly how they murdered Emmett Till. But because they had been found not guilty by a jury of their peers, they couldn't be put in double jeopardy. Now, later, the federal government came in a lot of these crimes that occurred down south in regards to the civil rights movement were prosecuted by the federal government in civil rights violations. So it was, while it might have been the same crime, it was a different charge. And with a different charge, they then could try. But generally, you're found not guilty and case is closed. Otherwise, the government could prosecute you once, twice, three, four, five, six times, and on the seventh get you and put you away for life. That is a protection that you have under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. Under five, you do not have to be compelled to testify against yourself in a court of law. You can plead the Fifth Amendment. If you go into court and what you believe or what your attorney believes you will say will put you, make you sound guilty in the eyes of the jury, then you can plead the Fifth Amendment. You can only plead the Fifth Amendment in your own guilt. So, like, if I was accused of murdering somebody, I could in the trial came towards me, and the attorney put me on the stand and asked me, "Did you, Mr. Wood, commit that murder?" I could plead the Fifth for my own case. But if Mr. Berry was put If Mr. Berry was on trial for murder, I couldn't then, because he's my friend, I couldn't say, I plead the fifth. I refuse to answer on whether or not I know if Mr. Berry committed the murder, because then I would be in contempt of court. And if I'm in contempt of court, I can be arrested. If I lied, I could then later be tried for perjury. So it only works to plead the fifth when it would incriminate the person who is pleading the fifth. That's it. And finally, the last part of number five doesn't seem to really fit in here, but it does. This is called eminent domain. And eminent domain is the fact that the government cannot take away your private property for public use without providing you just compensation, meaning paying you. And they have to go into the court to decide if they can take it away, and if they can take it away, what would be a fair market value. So they can't just come in and confiscate your land. If they could, that would be a violation of Amendment 5. Now, if a private entity comes in, and this happens often with maybe a shopping mall as opposed to a road, if it was a road or a highway for public good, then you would have an eminent domain. If it was a shopping mall, usually the private developers will come in and pay a lot more than the government probably would pay in an effort to try to lure you into giving up your land. If you don't give it up, they can't then go to the court and demand it. That is not eminent domain, because it is not the government involved.